Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Doughty?
Present.
Mayor Ron Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Cindy Moss, Personnel Director, Thomas Klimek, Public Works Director, Robert Coronado, Sergeant at Arms, and Carl, City Attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to those who are suffering through the ravages of war and conflict around the globe and have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tonight, we have one announcement to make, and as most of you know, that former City Clerk of Bisbee, Gloria Gonzalez, passed away this last weekend. We are very saddened to hear this, and Gloria always had a smile and a friendly comment whenever I would come into the clerk's office. She assisted me very much when I was first elected to understand how the city government functions, and I will miss her. And so from the Bisbee City Government and the people of Bisbee, we send our deepest sympathies to the family and friends of Gloria Gonzalez. We will miss you, but we will never forget you.
Thank you.
We're going to go to call to the public now. We're going to start off with Mr. Doug Stanhope.
Thank you. My name is Doug Stanhope. This month I reside at 213 Black Knob in a trailer on a cement slab. It's a long story. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you came down here to discuss, to weigh in on, whatever the topic is, I think we can all agree that there's no topic more important than the topic of child safety, protecting the people amongst us that can't protect themselves. I'm going to throw some numbers at you. Unbiased, unemotional, cold numbers. According to the National Center for Review and Prevention of Child Deaths, the most recent numbers, this is for the year 2012. The number for the year 2012, 956 children died. Infants and toddlers died from accidental suffocation. Suffocating on what? Legos, perhaps. But the lion's share, plastic bags, people. That's what these kids are choking to death on. And I think, call me crazy, that's 965 too many. Now, conversely, by comparison, let me check my numbers. In the amount of time that the plastic bag ban has been enforced in Bisbee since April 28th of 2014, the number of deaths in Bisbee, toddlers or infants, choking to death on plastic bags, let me check that number again. Yes, zero. Zero children in Bisbee have suffocated on a plastic bag. And I think that's a good number. Numbers don't lie, and numbers cannot be manipulated for a political point of view. And zero, you can take that zero and look at it as 965 children that are undead because of this council. Did this council step over some boundaries to bull rush this legislation into place? Perhaps. Did they cut some corners? Did they ignore important Bisbee City Charter protocol to get this legislation in place? Absolutely. Did they do anything illegal? Possibly. Should they be imprisoned by that gentleman, if he has respect for the badge, into one of Sheriff Joe Arpaio's pink prisons eating green bologna? Absolutely. But you cannot argue with results. And that zero, that goose egg on dead Bisbee children doesn't lie. So I excoriate you. That's a big word that I don't know what it means. But any member of this council that votes to rescind the plastic bag ban, you might as well just vote to have babies suffocating in plastic sacks till they're dead and then run for re-election. Thank you, people.
Mary Ferguson, did you want call to the public?
Yes.
Okay. It was something else there, but I assumed that's what it was for.
Mary Ferguson, 418 Cochise Way in Bisbee, and I've already handed you folks your paperwork. I'm a resident of San Jose, and I want to inform the City Council that I'm in the process of revisiting a plan that was drawn up almost 21 years ago regarding a family park in the San Jose area. This plan was scrapped about 8 years ago due to the economic downturn. The Kiwanis, along with other entities, had almost brought it to fruition. The physical plans had been drawn up, you have some of them, and it looked like a go until the last minute. I am hoping that the City Council, especially Ward 3 reps, Anna and Shirley, can work with me and a few other individuals out in the San Jose area to see if this plan or something similar can be revitalized. Thank you for your consideration and hopefully your cooperation, because we're going to do it.
Thank you. Mary Adams.
Good evening. Thank you all for your hard work. Thank you, citizens, for knowing how important this is. Thanks for being here. We're just on the move. There's a couple of words that many of us don't keep straight. Referenda, or referendum, and initiative. When the City Council makes the laws, I believe we're practicing democracy, direct democracy, participatory democracy. And when our council, in its wisdom, banned the bags, we've had a glorious rebirth, besides being known all over the country and California copying us. I think if you go around Safeway, you'll just be so happy. It is a different walk between Safeway and the Senior Center now. It's just glorious. And whatever tweaking needs to be done, let's do it. Whatever your choice of ways to make laws, let's do it. The League of Women Voters doesn't believe referenda or law by initiative is the most practical. Not only does it cost a lot, but we don't have a Quaker consensus meeting. We don't have a New England town meeting. We have representative government. These people were elected. They went door to door. They gave speeches. They made cookies. We put them here at this table. They passed an ordinance. We might need to change it. The proof is out there. We don't want to get rid of it. And with pensions being expensive, et cetera, we don't need an initiative, but it might be referenda to correct, where initiative is when you make a law from the beginning. And I used to know the difference very, very well when I taught civics. And you're going to have to sort that out for yourself. But let's let the council make the laws. Let's not waste money going to every single solitary person who was already elected our state's people. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Now we'll go to Nicholas Knight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Nicholas Knight, 306 Shattuck Street, Bisbee, Arizona. It's my understanding that there's the number four is to look into whether we should put a ballot out. So I have some questions. Mr. Mayor, how many of your taxpaying citizens or constituents have contacted you personally saying they would like this ballot to happen?
Mr. Knight, during call to the public,
I don't debate because it's not an official
agenda item, and so I really can't comment.
Okay. So it seems that last time that we met together, you guys dealt with the issue of putting something on the ballot and how many signatures it was going to take. Unless you've received more than that many, this seems like an end around to get something onto a ballot where somebody else can't come up with the signatures to do it. And if you can't come up with the signatures to do it, it doesn't seem to be the will of people. So I would look into that. I would also like to know how much it's going to cost to get put on the ballot. If it requires a special ballot, then that's anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000. And if you look at it taking about $15 to fill a 1 square foot pothole, that's 267 potholes that could get filled. And I think if you took a straw poll on any given day in any neighborhood, there'd be a lot more people interested in having their potholes filled than having this back on the ballot. It's had years, plenty of due process. It's amusing to see it come forth. I think it's about a month early. I think the beginning of next month is when this stuff should happen. But other than that, unless you've gotten 600-700 people saying, Mr. Mayor, we have to do something about this, if they want it, there's a process that you guys codified at last meeting to get this done. Let it be done by the process that's there. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I think the last person called to the public, Mr. Jeff Harris.
My name is Jeff Harris. I live here in Warren. I've gotten my segue. I wanted to announce that yesterday I received a number for my initiative petition that I am circulating. The purpose of this is merely to make less restrictive the present signature requirement for putting in place in initiatives, and my purpose is to bring it in line with state statute to make the city of Bisbee's wording track precisely that of state statute. Another matter that I would like to bring up is I would like to speak on behalf of the present city attorney and Carl. I realize that's agenda item number 11, but I'm afraid I might not get to speak on that. So if I may, I do believe I'm in a position better than most to be able to speak to the level of competence and integrity of our present city attorney. I believe we have a gem here. I have, over the years, I've interacted with many of the essentially all of the city attorneys, and none of them come anywhere close to our present city attorney. I think by all means, she's a keeper. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else signed up, call to the public? We have a long list, and Ms. Ferguson?
I just wanted to comment that.
Why don't you come up the podium? This is Mary Ferguson.
And going door to door, I asked people about the plastic bag, and I would have to say that probably 85% were in favor of getting rid of plastic bags. However, many of those folks did say they wanted no reporting and to get rid of the nickel fee. That was my experience going door to door.
Thank you. If that's it for call to the public, we will move to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $243,554.97.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $243,554.98. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through I, and I will read them. A, approval of the minutes of the work session of the Mayor and Council held on February the 12th, 2015 at 6 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the special session of the Mayor and Council held on February the 19th, 2015 at 5:01 p.m. C, approval of the appointment of Don Nolan to the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. D, approval of the appointment of Chuck Alton to the Community Sustainability Commission. E, approval of the appointment of David Smith to the Board of Adjustments. F, approval of the resignation of Michael Turris from the Community Sustainability Commission. G, approval of the resignation of Michael Turris from the Planning and Zoning Commission. H, approval of the resignation of Albert Hopper from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I, approval of the resignation of Rosalie Blessing from the Youth Council. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through I.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through I. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion and possible approval of the notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-15-02, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located adjacent to 5B Moon Canyon. Ms. Carl.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As you know, this property was auctioned off, and the property owners just adjacent to this property were the high bidder on this parcel, and this is really just a way to make it official. We'll adopt the notice of intent, and then next time around we'll adopt the ordinance and do the deed.
Any comments from the council?
Mayor, I move that we approve the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 01502, authorizing the sale and transfer of certain surplus city property on Moon Canyon, which I think was called 5B Moon Canyon, Parcel A, to Alvin Sandler and Catherine Hagstrom.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye. Excuse me, aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four, discussion and possible approval of allowing voters to decide whether they would like to continue the bag ban ordinance O-13-14. We have a lot of people signed up, so let's attend to business.
Mayor, would you please clarify to me what is being proposed here? Is this a council-initiated referendum to put this on the ballot to rescind the bag ordinance? What are we proposing?
We are proposing pretty much what the agenda item says, approval of allowing the voters to decide whether they would like to continue the bag ban, ordinance O-13-14.
I guess I would have to ask our city attorney then, how would that be done?
It is kind of like an initiative that the council brings and puts on the agenda. And it would be the council's decision to do this.
You say here to decide whether to continue. Does this mean modify or does it mean rescind?
I think it means whether we, whether the voters, I should say, decide to reject it or to continue it.
Okay, so that's reject or continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any comments from the council? Maybe we get a few comments. Council Member Sullivan.
Yeah, I wanted to reflect on what Ms. Ferguson mentioned, because that's been the overwhelming consensus that I have experienced amongst everyone I've talked to, that they are okay with the bag ban and they just don't want the reporting and the 5-cent fee. So I think that would make the majority of people happy. And we could probably just amend an ordinance rather than having to go through a vote.
I have some comments to make, but I will do it after the public speech on item number four, but council members are certainly welcome to talk now and afterwards as well. Council Member Hansen.
I would just like to reiterate that there is a legal process for it, which was done with the petition, and there wasn't enough, it wasn't that there weren't enough votes for signatures, there was a technical. And I also agree with the fact that this council was elected by the people to do their bidding, and we basically did that already, and we have other issues that we really need to get to rather constantly going back to this ban on the plastic bags.
Other comments from the council? Council Member Connors.
And I appreciate you allowing us to speak later. It would have been nice, Mayor, if the exact wording had been part of the of item number four of how, in the event that that it did go forward, how it was going to be worded on a ballot. So I'm just disappointed that the exact wording, you know, isn't here, because the details are always what confound most people when they're dealing with these things. So, but I'm looking forward to hearing what people have to say, and then I'm going to reserve the right to say something later. Thanks.
Once again, after the public speaks, so we're certainly welcome to have discussion on that again, of course. Any other comments from the council? Councilmember Dowdy.
I hope everybody can hear me. I said, I hope everybody can hear me. What I was told today was, lose the nickel, keep the paper.
Any other comments from the council? We'll go to the public. We're going to start with Terry Nudy.
Mayor and Council, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Maybe just a little bit closer.
A little bit closer.
Maybe I'm hard of hearing.
Is that a little better?
Yeah, it's better.
All right. Thank you very much for allowing us to speak on this issue tonight. Just the fact that Susan was able to get over 600 signatures tell you that it's not a settled issue. More needed to be said on the subject. I know I was a little disappointed in that I was one of the first people to speak at the appropriate time, and then heard things like one young woman who was leaving the next day for college and wanted to make sure that this got passed before she left town. And I'm thinking, great, so you stick us with this, and you're not even going to live here anymore. And then they talked about school children coming here and approaching and talking about, you know, how cute these little kids are to come in here and talk to the council. And that's a wonderful thing. I applaud a teacher that will do that. But I would hope that that same teacher would teach those children to pick up the trash in the first place so that there's not an issue. And then we talked about Europe. But I'd like to remind people, I'm quite familiar with France, especially. It's a socialist country. It's not a democracy. We live in a democracy. We get to come and we get to talk respectfully. We get to have our opinions voiced, and I appreciate you taking the time to hear that. And, you know, I just wonder, number one, and I know you can't answer this tonight, but how much money has the city received from the 5-cent bag tax? And really, you know, was it worth the discontent that is out there? I shop at Whole Foods and Starbucks when we're in Tucson. Both of those places, if you bring your bag or bring your cup, they give you a 10-cent discount. Neither of those places penalize you for not bringing your own cup or bringing your own bags. Taking the approach of penalizing people as opposed to rewarding people for changing behavior, I think, has caused there to be a contention and an unfriendliness about BSBY. It irritates people. It's a wrong way to do things. And I realize we have several new people on the council, and I'm glad about that. I'm hoping that this council will learn from past mistakes and work in a conciliatory way, that we can do the best thing for the people of Bisbee without causing them to butt heads on every issue. Let's not take a negative approach. Let's take a positive approach. I believe because this issue isn't going away, because it continues to fester, that the right thing to do would be to put it on the ballot again. And if that has to wait until the next election so that there's not an extra cost to the city, so be it. I don't think anybody's demanding that we do something today. But I think in a spirit of cooperation, Joan was absolutely right. We have bigger fish to fry here. There's a lot going on. And we need to be able to work together. And I think putting this to a vote of the people would go a long way towards saying we care about what everyone thinks. And let's get together, because most people, I stopped shopping at Safeway. I don't shop there anymore. Oh, and it's over the bag thing. I'll go to Sierra Vista, I'll go to Douglas, and I know a lot of people that feel the same way I do. And you know, bottom line, it's really not even about the bags, because before the bag issue, I was getting in the habit of bringing my own, and I always carry some with me. It's not the bag, it's the freedom of choice. And it's having a council that forces an opinion down your throat without listening to people and looking at all sides of things. So, again, I thank you for allowing me to have my say.
Thank you, Ms. Terry Moody. Next, we have Betty Lindstrom.
Betty Lindstrom. Sorry I missed you, Doug. I came in late. We keep talking about the discussion that we're having here over the bag. And people say it's been going on for 3 years. Well, it's actually been going on for 5 years. And I look at the council, and maybe I think Council Member Klein, you're the only one that possibly remembers when my students came here in the spring of 2010. That's 5 years ago. Everything that has been discussed should have been discussed. We all know about the carcinogens. We know about the oceans. We know about the dirty lots in Bisbee. So the issue here is not whether plastic bags are bad or not. Okay, they're bad. If anybody says they're not, you know, I'm dumbfounded. It seems to be the choice. That's the word. The last speaker just said something about choice. Now, everybody that knows me knows that I don't like government regulations. I hate government cramming things down my throat. I hate permits and... But you know what? We're not a perfect country. We're not we don't have perfect people living here. And sometimes we can't have the choices we want. For example, okay, that lot that's right across the street from where Mayor Ertley lives, used to be beautiful roses there. What if the owner now wants to put a pig farm there? Okay, I'm an American. You know, I am free. I should be able to have my choice. Well, you can't do it, can you? Or how about if you've got like a really mean neighbor, you know, really nasty person. You've seen him kick your dog. You've seen him throw eggs at your house. You've seen him beat his wife. He's nasty. Okay, you've got some choices. You're an American. You've got choices. You can ask him nicely to stop his bad behavior. Well, maybe he'll do it. Maybe he won't. You can put a wall around your house. You can move. You can ask the cops to intercede. Maybe, you know, justice will take place. But you know what? You can't kill him, okay? You might want to. Maybe he can't even, doesn't have the right to breathe the same air you do. But you can't kill him. It's not your choice, okay? So even though I hate government regulations, sometimes we've got to have rules and we've got to have regulations. Which brings me to the next point is, you know, your rights of freedom, your rights end where mine begin. And, you know, you want to go to Elmo's and drink yourself silly and stumble into the street and somehow manage to get up your stairs to your house, puke on your porch, sleep in your vomit. You know, that's your right, okay? But once you get behind the wheel of a car and you go onto Highway 80, and you put me or my children or my grandchildren in danger, now you've crossed the line. You know, now you've taken my right to drive to Safeway away from me. And that's where I draw the line. And that's what I think this is about now. Okay, choices. Well, the plastic bag thing is the same thing. Your choice to clutter the streets, to put carcinogens in the food chain in the ocean, that my kids, when they open a can of tuna fish, they're now eating molecules from the plastic bags. And it's in the entire ocean. It's in everywhere. So you've taken my right away. And I like Bisbee Clean. I love it. Does anyone think it's not cleaner and prettier now that we don't have plastic bags? You know? We do. So, yeah, there's a reusable. And, okay, you want a choice, you know? Use a green reusable one or a blue one, or take your T-shirt and put your groceries in them, you know, or carry them out. Or you know what? Sometimes I forget mine, and I just push them out in the grocery cart and put them in the car. There's a choice, you know. So anyway, I don't think it's got to do with whether plastic bags are good or bad. And I'm personally very embarrassed that we're still talking about this 5 years later. I mean, those students have long graduated. They're gone, you know. We're still talking about it 5 years later. So I think I'm embarrassed. And if we rescind this, let's be, the second city in the world to do it. There was one other one that did it in California, but now they can't because California's, you know, banning. Let's be real proud and be the first one in the world to rescind the plastic bag thing. I would personally be mortified. I mean, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Next we'll go to Jenny Druckmann. Maybe Jenny's not here. Next we will go to Donna Pulling.
Excuse me, Mayor, I have a prop. I'll be right back.
Okay. For people that listen to this later, Donna Pulling is going to get a prop. So there's not. I reviewed some of those tapes, and sometimes there's long silence periods. Here comes the props.
Okay. Hello, my name is Donna Pulling, and I live in Bisbee. And the prop that I brought before you is part of the trash that I picked up between Safeway and the transfer station, about a quarter of a mile on Highway 92, the day before yesterday. The other three bags are in the trunk of my car. There is not one plastic bag in here. Zero plastic bags. This bag, this white garbage bag, was stuck to one of the trees because I had brought my own clear bags to pick up the trash. Thankfully, there was a purchased bag that I was able to fill. No Safeway bags. But what is in here are plastic water bottles, potato chip containers, plastic, beer bottles, beer cans, and these little plastic one-shot vodka thing, somebody had a real run on that. Styrofoam cups, lids, and red straws. That's what's in these bags. That's what we're going to ban next in Bisbee. Because that's what's on our highways. We got rid of the plastic bags. Our city is beautiful. It's better. Except for a couple of lots that are on private property. One of them is a Mexican restaurant near the Safeway store that's still full of plastic bags. I won't pick those up. That's for the property owner to take care of, and they know who they are. Arizona Department of Transportation has created a website. It's called don'ttrasharizona.com. Just some statistics about the amount of money that we are losing, well, we are spending as a state to pick up trash. $3 million ADOT spends on picking up trash along roadsides. 12,647 bags per month in Maricopa County. That's just in Maricopa County. 803 tons of trash per year in Maricopa County. All these statistics come from Maricopa County. 46% of people, these were surveys that were conducted between 2009, 10, 11, and 12. 46% of people are throwing trash out of their vehicles. There's a $500 to $1,000 fine already. It's a class 2 misdemeanor in Arizona to have a vehicle, a truck, that is not properly covered and contained. Most of the trash that is coming out of vehicles comes out of the back of pickup trucks. And the age of the offenders is between 18 to 34-year-old men. Sorry, guys.
Are we going to ban them?
Well, I don't want to pick up their trash. Let's put it that way. All right? I don't even want to go there. Okay. I did some other research about the cities. The cities in the United States that are banning, that have already got bans on plastic bags is Alaska, three cities, Arizona, one, Bisbee, the entire state of California, Honolulu, Hawaii, seven cities in Colorado, one in Connecticut, Washington, D.C. They all have fees attached. These were passed by their city councils. There's a website that you can go to on this if you doubt my statistics. Chicago has a ban on plastic bags in any store that's over 10,000 square feet. Portland, Oregon. Several cities in Maryland. I didn't get the exact number of that. In New Mexico, Silver City, Santa Fe, all the Hamptons in New York, and several cities in Oregon, Rhode Island, Texas, and Washington. Bangladesh has banned plastic bags since 2002. Rwanda has banned the use of plastic bags. Australia has 12 cities that has banned the use of plastic bags. Burma, Rangoon. We would be numbered among one other country who has rescinded the ban on plastic bags, and that is Taiwan. Now, if you've ever been to Taiwan, it's a total dump heap. Safeway, I went to the Safeway website today as well. Safeway has, for the sixth year now, instituted a sustainability program. They themselves are going to be eliminating the free giveaway of plastic bags nationwide. A billion plastic bags have been distributed in the Safeway stores. In a year. They are going to a zero waste program in all of their distribution centers that is going to reduce 90% of their recycled material out of the waste stream. It says on the their website that they are actually charging us in our food costs for the free giveaway plastic bag. 2 to 5 cents per bag shows up as a hidden food cost. I'd just like to see a show of hands of the people in this room that would be for keeping the ban on plastic bags and having the council rewrite the ordinance to eliminate the 5 cent fee. Just a show of hands. There you go, Council.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Jenny Druckmann.
I'm Jenny Druckmann. I live on Vista Street. And I, honestly, I'm really mad that I have to get up here again and talk about this again, because this is an ordinance that was voted on, and I've spent 3 years working on this, and it was well publicized, and we had an ongoing campaign, and it was voted in as an ordinance. So if every ordinance that the council approved and voted in was to be questioned, boy, we wouldn't get very far in this town. So I feel like it's been successful. Everyone can see that. Why are we wasting our time here? This is foolish to me. I don't know where the opponents were all these last 3 or 4 years. So can we say that this is working? Can't we see that this is working? Can't we all say this is working? Where's the opposition? So anyway, I'm not even sure how the item is worded on the agenda, but I'm here to continue my support of this. And yes, if we want to reword it, fine, but next is plastic bottles. We're just getting started. That was just the beginning, so we have a lot more to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny Druckmann. Next, we'll go to John Harwood.
Good evening. My name is John Harwood, and I live at 10 Cochise Lane. How's my hair tonight? I'm getting tired of you afterwards, right? Anyway, I believe having the ban is something good. You know, we're doing something right for the environment, and I think that our environment has become a political football, and it's really important that we trust what we do. And I'm in Ward 3, by the way, Ann and Shirley. I represent that part of the town, and then I live at 10 Cochise Lane. So I want to make sure you guys know that I don't like the ban. I want to keep the ban intact, all right? So I'm just one guy, all right? But I want to be aware. We probably never talked at all.
Thank you. Next, we will go to, is it Catherine Cummins? Kaylin.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Cummins. I'm president of the Bisbee Bloomers, and we support the plastic bag ban. And I just wanted to reiterate that. And I wanted you to look around the city and see how beautiful it looks after almost a year of no plastic bags. And I also wanted to ask you to support and trust our city council members to do the right thing, and they did, and I'd like to keep it. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Eric Farner. You're signed up for number 4 and number 5, is that correct? Okay.
Eric Farner at 609 Bisbee Road. We've talked about this issue before with previous councils, that I am opposed to the bag ban as currently written. I think that the discussions about removing the 5-cent fee and the thing on the paper bag kind of steals my thunder. I would reiterate that's the thing that I oppose most of all, because I don't see it as a proper role of government of putting something in place designed to annoy the constituents, to make people angry, to modify their behavior. I would definitely support a change in the ordinance that just makes it what I call a clean ordinance. If we're going to have no single-use plastic bags in Bisbee, let's just say we will not have that, a legal definition of what a single-use plastic bag is, and that's it, period. If the council also wants to address the environmental impact of non-recycled paper bags, instead of using the 5-cent fee, you know, to discourage it, use, why not bag it, you know, ban it completely. If it were to go to a vote to the people, and I think this is what John McKenna had brought up, and maybe Ann Carl can ask this question as well, does that tie the hands completely for any kind of bag ban in the future if the voters, you know, take it and decide it? I think that the possibility of that vote by the voters is a check on the power of the council. And I would hope that the council would say, instead of doing that, because that is something that's real, that is imminent, I think that Susan Blackford can certainly get enough signatures on a second petition, not only to meet the threshold, but to clear a safety zone in case there are any more signatures that are tossed out, and get it on the ballot anyway. So one way or another, that's going to come. But if the council were to say, you know, we're going to modify this, make it shorter, simpler, more palatable, I think that 90% of the opposition to the ban as currently written will disappear in a puff of smoke. And that's what I'd like the council to consider.
Thank you. Next we have Sean Hicks.
Good evening, Council, Mayor, and City of Bisbee. This just seems to me to be kind of a procedural issue. The council is kind of in charge of writing ordinances, and you know, and then modifying them if there is a bunch of dissent. I mean, to actually put it to the people in an election seems to be almost a ploy, because there's, when it's an election, it's an up or down thing. There's not a discussion. There's going to be a single paragraph written about what it's going to be. So if you can say, no, we don't want the plastic bag ban because of the way it's currently enabled. And there's probably a lot of people that would do that. But as you've heard tonight, there's a lot of people who their issues with it are not about banning plastic bags. It's about the reporting or the 5-cent cost on paper bags and these other issues. So it would, to me, it feels like it would be important for the council to maybe revisit, modify, try to make this work a little bit better for the community, try to, without killing a very important piece of, you know, I don't want to say legislation, but an important ordinance that's had a very positive effect on the town, and not making it a political issue, among the people of Bisbee, where it's an up or down type of thing. And that's, I think, fully within the council's power to do. Make some modifications, discuss other ways of limiting the paper bags or, you know, single-use things without annoying people with unnecessary reporting or this, that, or the other thing. And so it seems like that's really the issue. And you know, maybe it's not, but giving that a try at least, because there's enough voices that have said that, try to handle that issue and then see if there's still a lot of dissent, would be kind of a prudent steps to deal with this issue and not overly politicize it and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Gretchen Baer.
Hi everybody, I'm Gretchen Baer, 120B Brewery Ave. I just want to first of all say how proud I am of Bisbee to have passed this ordinance. We've been doing it for a year. Everyone's gotten used to it. You know, it might be a little bit of a problem at first, but we figured it out. We got our, you know, our call-off bags, and we're good. We're all doing it. And as everybody said, the city sure looks a lot more beautiful. And as far as on a state level and even a national level and perhaps even a global level, we sent out a message that was really strong that said that we care, and that we care about our future, we care about our environment, we care about our kids. And we're going to do something about it. And, you know, hooray for all of us for carrying those plastic bags. You know, the world is a pretty messed up place, and you know, we got to do whatever we can do. And if it's something that doesn't really take that much out of our day to, you know, carry a paper bag or a plastic bag with us, you know, I mean, I think we can all do that. And you know, this is something that we did pass as ordinance. A lot of people worked really hard on, and it would send a very bad message to the world, to, you know, because this will be something else that will be looked at, you know, in the future for what we've done. We are the first people in Arizona, and we don't want to rescind that and, you know, look like a bunch of idiots. It's about the future, and it's about what we can do to clean up the environment. So I hope we all stand strong, and maybe we'll pass even more things to clean up the environment. That would be the way to go. That's the way of the future. That's all we can do to help save the planet. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Margo McCartney.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, everybody in the city who's listening. I'm Margo McCartney. I live at 504 Powell Street, and I support the ban. Everybody knows I did because I've been up here. It seems like we're in deja vu. You know, here we are all talking about the plastic bag ban again. It's like we're in some kind of sludge that may never end. It just seems foolish because, as Gretchen said, we all do it. It's not bad. People say, oh, I want my freedoms. Well, you have the freedom. You can go to Sierra Vista and get plastic bags if that's what you want to do. That's freedom. You know, you don't have to have freedom. As somebody said earlier, you can't murder people because you like them, because you're free. We have limits on our freedom, and we have freedom and we have responsibilities. When I was a kid in school, there was an essay contest. I must have been in the third grade. And they made us think about our freedoms and our responsibilities. And you can't have freedoms without responsibilities. They go hand in hand. And I think the responsibility we all have, everyone on this planet has it, whether they like it or not, is to be a steward of the planet and take care of it. It's the only one we have. And it's dying. It's suffering, and the plastic bags are part of it. The bag ban is not without problems. You know, I think it's a great ordinance. When I forget my bags, I do just like Benny does. I carry them out in my car, and I put them in the bags which have been left in my car. But it's easy enough to do. You could eliminate the 5-cent charge. That's a lot of paperwork, and I don't know that the paperwork and all that does anything for the planet. It just irritates people. You could still have a ban on plastic bags, and we can use our Trader Joe bags or Safeway bags or whatever else we tote around with us. You know, and here's the thing. You know, somebody, I guess Susan Blackford or somebody, how many signatures were on that, Mayor? May I ask?
I think around 600, maybe 675, but a bunch were disqualified for some technical reason. They weren't stamped or something. Ms. Coronado, would you want to address that?
Of good signatures?
Of what?
Good signatures?
Well, I presume.
You presume, okay.
I didn't check them.
Well, anyway, I mean, it just seems so silly, because also the council sent out postcards to everybody, and we all filled out postcards. Nope. I don't know. Everyone I know got one, and I don't. Did they? May I ask? Does anybody know? Did the council only send them to certain people? Well, they came back in favor of the plastic bag ban. So, you know, I just think that, and people, you know, the ridiculous notion that people in France cannot speak out is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. People in France speak out more than people in this country do. They gather in millions when they don't like something. People in France are free because they have socialized medicine and they don't have to, you know, they all have medical care. Doesn't mean that they're not free. I mean, I just think, I wish we could just educate people. You know, everyone's made all these great points. I just think we have to be stewards and we should continue. If you want to revise it, take out the fine, take out the reporting, that would be probably better with is from my point of view, but please, and that don't put it, don't have a special election on plastic bags. I mean, this makes us look like a bunch of idiots to have a special election on plastic bags after 5 years of discussion. When anyway, I just join with everyone else in saying, please keep the bag ban. It's fine. It's and most of us like it. And if someone doesn't like it, they can shop in Safeway or Douglas, or they can reuse their own plastic bags if they love plastic that much. But the city really does look clean. It really does look nice. You don't see all those bags flying around the street. And I appreciate it, and I hope we stay that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Marie Miner.
Hi, my name is Marie Miner, and I live in the Briggs neighborhood, Ward 3, and I turn to my representatives, Anna Klein and Shirley Doty, and say, please represent me and vote to make sure that this does not go on up for vote, that we hold strong on the ordinance. I wanted to reassure the police officers that this is just bags, and that and I was worried when I came in that I might get stopped. Part of the reason I brought this in is to show you what I do. I believe as a teacher many years, living by example. So this is in my car at all times, and doesn't have to be this particular brand name. Sorry, I'm not advertising. Then there's another bag. This one is all the ones that are for the meat, the vegetables and things. These are the ones that are really good food grade bags. That goes in its bag. Then there's another one here. Sorry if this is getting to be rattling noisy to the public. Sorry. This is the ones that when you get to the counter, they fill the bags, you know, that you're supposed to be bringing. And then there's the overflow bag, this one. And I did have to run back to my car because I forgot this bag in my car. That happens frequently when I go to Safeway, and then I just run back to my car or walk back. And that's not too hard to do because I always keep it there. And there's also a paper bag on the bottom to guarantee. And there's another little bag with ties in it. You know, I recycle ties. I use them over again, just like I do bags. Okay, that said, living by example. So I might get another bag lady label like Donna Pulling. I'm not trying to compete with you for that title, but it might happen.
I'm the bag lady.
What happens to the 5-cent tax, to the 5-cent fee? I called the Bisbee Finance Office and asked them about that, and they said, today I was told, well, we haven't been getting any 5-cent fees. Mm-hmm. Although my neighbor said he heard that Alco had turned in money for it. I don't know about the discrepancy, but I wonder that if we didn't have a 5-cent fee, if some of the incentive would be lost. You know, it's a little bit of arm twisting, but it's not a real expensive arm twisting. It's an unfortunate way. I kind of liked it better that Safeway would give me 5 cents off every time I produced a plastic bag. Now that was nice. And maybe that is a better way to approach it, to be more positive affirming instead of negative. Another reason that I was concerned about this going on the ballot is that I understood that it would be a special election. And if we're a city that's trying to save money and trying to put our, you know, put our money to good use and fix those potholes, whatever, a special election, according to the finance office, who told me today, it would cost $4,000 to $5,000. If we were ever going to put it on the ballot, I hope to God we'd at least put it on the ballot with some other things on the ballot, not have a special election. That is not cost effective. Lastly, we got into this kind of debate because there was an initiative and over 600 signatures. But I know that sometimes in the past I've signed initiatives just to put it on the ballot. So I wonder if we shuffle out all those names of the people that just signed it only to put it on the ballot. Then maybe because we've had almost a year to do this, and you have education and you have more acceptance by people, maybe we could shuffle out a few more names. They may not be anywhere near 600 people who would still agree with an initiative when we've already seen it put into good effect. We'll see. Again, please vote to keep this off of the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will go to Richard Green.
Hi, my name is Richard Green. Is that on? I live at 603 Tombstone Canyon Road. As well as the last speaker, the last thing I knew was that the city has not received any money from the fee. Is that correct? Does anybody know from the city? Okay. I'm not against plastics or chemicals, but I think it's important to limit exposure from chemicals and plastics. Plastics are in our bodies. The chemicals that are made from plastics are in our bodies, in our food, our water, our soil, and in our children's bodies, affecting them in unknown ways. Plastics are made up of chemicals, some toxic, nonylfenols, parabens, formaldehydes, polyvinyls, bisphenol A's are some nasty ones. Some are estrogen-mimicking chemicals as well. So if you're pregnant, then maybe you should consider limiting your exposure. Anything stored in plastic will contain these chemicals. Especially the longer they're stored in the container, the hotter the container is, and if it's stored in sunlight, the more chemicals that these liquids and food will contain. Don't put plastic in microwaves, even microwave plastic safe. I found one study recently about the island in the Pacific. It's not a literal island. You can't see it. It's all below the surface, and plastics break up into tiny little bits, but those bits don't biodegrade. They're always affecting the chemicals that make up the plastic are always affecting organisms, and they actually bioaccumulate within the food web. So if you eat meat, especially the high and carnivores like tuna, shark, sailfish, they'll contain more of these chemicals as well as heavy metals. And one study I found recently, China is number one emitter of these plastics into the oceans. The United States was, I think, 15, so we're doing a pretty good job there. Like many things in our society, we lack our precautionary principles when it comes to plastics and chemicals, for that matter. Please conduct a risk assessment, and you may find this scale of plastic and chemical usage is not worth it, especially since we've lived without it. And I would definitely support a plastic bottle and styrofoam ban as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Elise Dubnik.
Hi, my name's Elise Dubnik, and I actually reside in Sierra Vista, but I'm in Bisbee a good bit of the time and have worked here and still work here. I didn't speak last time about the plastic bag, but I was in favor of it. And after listening to everybody, I just want to say that it seems a reasonable thing to keep it, to keep the ban, but possibly to, you know, revisit it, not in an election, but to rewrite it. If the council could rewrite it, because it seems like the recording of it and the 5-cent fee is the biggest issue that people have. So if that could be done, then it might be really a moot point to even, you know, go into an election. And I just want to say, since I drive between Sierra Vista and Bisbee a lot, that all the time. I mean, here we have this beautiful, the San Pedro riparian area, and all the time I see so many plastic bags sticking to the trees all over the place. I mean, not really trees, but little the bushes. And it's amazing. I've never seen a place that has so much garbage, really. For a place that's not populated. I mean, I moved a year and a half ago from the Miami, Florida area. And, you know, there I would see lots of garbage. But that's a big metropolitan area. Here we have a fairly rural area that we live in. And I was just surprised to see so much garbage. And I really have to say that I drove around in Colorado, and I almost never saw any garbage along the side of the road. So to me, it seems like a change in consciousness somehow about how people think about what they do, what the earth means to them, and then we wouldn't need a 5-cent tax or whatever. We would just think, wow, of course we wouldn't throw garbage out, we wouldn't throw plastic bags or anything else out, you know, because that would just be like throwing garbage into our home, because the earth is our home. And so maybe if we just think about taking care of ourselves, because and each other and our earth, you know, then, you know, and think about, well, what, all, as people have said, you know, what plastics have done. I mean, maybe we could think of a substitute for plastic. You know, I know that there are substitutes for plastic forks and spoons now. They've come out with things from vegetables made from, I think they're made from corn, I'm not really sure. But there are things that might be safer in the environment, you know, just things to check out. Anyway, so, and I appreciate what everybody has to share, and so I just hope that rather than fight amongst ourselves, that we just think about how we can just, you know, make Bisbee and all of Cochise County and all of our planet a better place for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will have Maggie Kohanek.
Hi, my name is Maggie Kohanek. I live here in Old Bisbee, up on 901 Tombstone Canyon. And I'd like you to all think about a fire burning in front of you. I actually brought a candle, but I decided not to go so dramatic. But in the ancestral times, we used to talk over a fire. And the fire represented truth for the next 7 generations. And I'm so proud of this council for actually doing something that will affect us, not just in this time, not just for us old codgers that are here in Bisbee, but for all the children that are growing up. They get to say, yeah, you know what? My grandparents or my mom or my dad made sure that there's no more plastic bags. Wasn't that a stupid idea? It was a stupid idea. And white people did it. I'm sorry. I'm against something that is so useless. So I hold you each accountable for your jobs. I'm not going to take any more time, but I want you to hold that fire in front of you and speak the truth for the next 7 generations, not just our lifetime. Please speak the truth for everyone that we hold dear in the future generations, and not put any more plastic that we don't need to on the planet. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Colette Latimer. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Certainly, you certainly can.
Okay. I live at 982 East Beechcraft Boulevard. It's sort of behind the airport. And I haven't used plastic bags for years. I've always used this kind of plastic that I can wash, or I use canvas that I can wash. It's just a habit. And I keep 5 or 6 in the back of my car, you know, in the back seat. And if I bring some groceries in from the house and I unload my groceries or whatever I've got in the bags, I have these bags sitting here. So I take them to the front door and leave them there so that if I take out the trash or if I have to get back in the car, I can put the bags that I used back in the back seat of the car. It's a very simple way of doing it. And if I forget, if I'm distracted and I don't get them to the back of the car, I still have 3 or 4 there. So there's always bags. And once you do this more than 20 times, it becomes a habit. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next, we will go to Ed Gable.
Good evening. My name is Ed Gable. I live at 107 Campbell Street, Bisbee. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight and come back on this issue. I appreciate your listening to us. I think part of the reason this whole thing went through in the beginning is because many people in this town thought, oh, it's so preposterous. There's no way they're going to vote for that. So there's a lot of people who aren't here tonight. There's a lot of people who were surprised when this was passed by the previous city mayor and council. And they felt it was a bad example of government. It was bad government. I want to add my voice to those people who want the plastic bag ordinance 01314 that was passed in October 2013 just put on the ballot for a vote of we the people. That's it. I'll accept whatever answer is done, but because I am not happy with the way things went in the first place, that's why I want to vote. By the way, there are a lot of communities in this country that are voting to rescind the ban or at least put it on the ballot. That's something that should be noted. This is not unusual. Bisbee is not being unusual here tonight. I was one of those people who circulated the petitions to get this on the ballot last summer, and I can tell you that some of the signatures, yes, did come from people who supported the ban, but still wanted to have a vote. I'm fine with that. The previous mayor and council, I believe, divided this community severely with the way they ran the ordinance through the system, the way it happened. And the people of Warren and San Jose, I hear now, are so upset that they talk about leaving the city. I don't think that would be a good idea. That would be very disappointing to me. I've lived here for over 10 years now. I would also like to point out that some of the environmental issues used as a basis of passing this ordinance are just preposterous. And I think that was part of the reason people did not take this seriously in this town when the whole thing was first considered. First, according to a recent, I think somebody mentioned a similar study or the same study, on the from LA Science Now story from February 2015 this year, this study was done that estimates that China's coastal provinces dumps over 1.3 million tons of plastic garbage into the ocean, the South China Sea and the Pacific Ocean. Other countries like Vietnam and Thailand and others in that area share in this floating waste. Nowhere is Bisbee mentioned as far as putting garbage into the ocean, just so that's clear, nor was the United States. We are so clean, we are almost nowhere to be seen. Okay, we're already there. Why are we doing more? Why are we over-regulating? Also, in California, they did run through a thing statewide about a plastic ban ordinance. 800,000 signatures recently went into the state of California. They're putting it on the ballot. The whole thing is on hold until the voters decide, or at least until they decide whether or not they'll be able to get on the ballot. So everything is on hold until that. One of the big things done during that time was there was a picture of a turtle eating a plastic bag, and this was like one of the big reasons. Are you kidding me? A turtle is going to I've spent a whole lifetime out in the wilderness. I have never seen a turtle or any other animal eating a plastic bag. I know that on the island in the Pacific, there are seagulls who are wrapped up in this stuff, but I have never seen a creature on this continent eating a plastic bag. That photo has since been discredited and is considered to be photoshopped. A photo of the former mayor standing behind Safeway with plastic bags around here has also been discredited as a possible photo setup. I will tell you, I have worked years ago. I was one of the spokespeople for Tucson Clean and Beautiful. I lived there before I moved here in 2004. Reduce, recycle, reuse. We taught it. After doing this for many months, I couldn't help but wonder, why am I having to do this? Why aren't the parents teaching this? My parents taught me. My neighbors' kids, their parents taught them. Pick up after yourself. In fact, back in 1972, when I was at the University of Iowa, sitting in a cafeteria studying with my neighbor, there was, had to be, one of the first ecology meetings in the whole country. It's 1972. We're going to save the planet. Really? They got done with their meeting. They started getting up, and the guy next to me punched me in the chest, goes, Ed, look at this. Look at this. They left the whole cafeteria covered with trash. They didn't use the trash bins. They didn't take the trays and put them on the rack. They were going to save the planet, but they couldn't even pick up after themselves. Give me a break, people. If we just do that much, take care of your own yard, pick up like many of us do in front of your house. Some of us, when we walk our dogs, we pick up after other people. Wind blows. That's where the trash comes from it. And sometimes, you know, just like real estate, we get dust from Mexico, they get dust from us, we get garbage from them, they get garbage from us. The wind blows. It's going to be spring, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour here soon. Not surprising. By the way, and as a conservationist, I know that over the years, since that time, there are a number of national organizations that I now refuse to support. And I question everything they say and check everything out because they have lied, they have prevaricated, they have fabricated, they have manipulated. And people have bought what they said because they came to us for many years with a reputation. Okay? I want a clean community, too. I want responsive government who will listen to us. And I ask you to put this issue on the ballot so we can resolve it. And pick up after yourself, folks. And I just one additional thing that came up during this discussion. Again, it brought up the survey that was done recently. When I was younger, years ago in Tucson, I also worked for a political consulting firm, public relations firm. I will tell you, there is nothing so unscientific as a political survey, except for consumer surveys, corporate surveys, medical surveys, environmental surveys. They are incredibly unreliable. And I know how they become unreliable. And I could go into that a lot another time, and I'm not going to. All I'm asking for is to be heard tonight, and I thank you for your time and your interest. And I'm glad we have some new people around. I really would like you to consider making some serious changes here and letting us put this on the ballot at some point in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ed Grable. Next, we have Susan Blackford. Susan, would you want to pull the...
Oh,
yes.
Great. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Is this better? Okay. Thank you. Excuse me? Okay. How about this? Is that better?
That's good.
A little bit more? Okay. Thank you, because I certainly want to be heard. Okay. No questions asked about that. Good evening, Mayor, Council, guests, citizens. Susan M. Blackford. I live in the Warren area, as you know. As you also know, I am chairman of the initiative to repeal the plastic bag ordinance O-1314 that was started last May. Florence, Nina, and many others in this town have worked very hard for those 6 weeks to get over 675 signatures. Let's do a quick review of that effort. 675 registered voters signed onto the initiative. Due to human error on our part, only 570 signatures were accepted by the city clerk, and I have them here. Okay? Still, even this 575 verified signatures is more than the 470 yes cards from Mr. Connor's unscientific survey done last October. Why do I call that survey unscientific? Because some households with more than one registered voter got only one card. Why some got two, and then some got none. In my opinion, it's my opinion, this survey was a total waste of taxpayer money and is not a vote. It is votes that are supposed to count in this country, not a survey. All right, everyone talks about California. Let's talk about California. Yes, the government signed the plastic bag ban into law, and immediately voters got together and sent over 800,000 signatures to the Sacramento legislature to put the issue on the ballot. Political watchers in California say that issue is likely to pass and the plastic bag ban will not go into effect until the people of California vote on it. Does everyone here understand the difference? No ban until voted on by the taxpayers. We want to vote, not a survey on 01314. It is a tax, and we want our say in this issue. Also, this issue was rammed through the city in just two city council sessions. Yes, that's fact. That was brought up, Donna, by Ken Bulge at the city council thing. Okay? There was no public work session. Therefore, Jenny, how could we have, could you hear from the public when there were no sessions and we were never notified or given the right to do it? Okay? If there had been work sessions, we probably might not have been in this mess because everyone would have had a fair voice to decide. And that's all we're asking is for fairness. The bag ordinance, also in the following cities, have been overturned. In Seattle, Washington, Durango, Colorado, Newport, Oregon, Homer, Alabama, and Basalt, Colorado, just to name a few. Shall we review a little more of how this ordinance came to be, because this seems to be the discussion tonight, okay? How Mayor Badal and Council, with the advice of the city attorney, delayed this ordinance going into effect for 6 months. Why? We wondered if it was done on purpose so that the time for doing a referendum would pass. And a referendum requires a lower number of voters to stop a law going into effect. Instead, the voters of this community had to do much greater effort to get council's proper attention on this matter. I hope we have it now. Just to talk about the cost. I wasn't going to bring it up, but other people brought it up. You all here in the council, some of you in the audience, remember how hard we tried in August and September to get you all to vote to put it on the ballot so it wouldn't cost the city council any money. Oh, no, in two tries, we couldn't give the rights to the people. So don't you dare complain to me about how much this is going to cost. You owe the citizens of this town the right to put it on a ballot and a right for you to pay for it. If you're going to pay for a survey, if you're refusing to let us vote on it, when we tried to get it so it wouldn't cost you anything, we do have some rights, and you need to remember that. Remember also, we are the people asking for our right to vote on this ordinance. On the face of it, the plastic bag ordinance is not the biggest issue facing this town. But on the surface, it is, because it's about taxation and our right to vote, two issues that were fundamental to the founding of this nation. It is amazing to me and many others that just that over 230 years later, we the people, remember us, we the people,
are having the same argument with our current government in the towns of Bisbee. What are you afraid of? Why is your opinion more important than my opinion? Why can't I have the democratic process that you all talk about going to a vote? If you win, so be it. If we win, so be it. That's a chance a democracy takes, not a tyranny. I am asking, and we are asking, this council to show us the local government has truly changed for the better. Agree with us on this issue or disagree with us. Just let us vote on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that ends the people wanting to speak on item number 4. Is there anybody out there that would wish to speak that's not signed up? Why don't you come up and state your name? I always have people state their names, even council members, so the clerk's office, when they review the minutes through headphones, they know who's speaking. That's why I do that.
Hello, Bisbee City Council, Bisbee citizens, as I've seen other people say. My name is Abigail Hattel. I live at 3012 Douglas Road. I'm 14 years old, and as far as I can tell from what's going on, there's something wrong. If the people of Bisbee can't trust their representatives to represent them, the Bisbee bag ban has actually helped the environment more than we think. Yes, there are bags not hanging in the trees, but there are also other things. I mean, they go to landfills and then they blow around in the ocean, like was brought up earlier. And the tax isn't that much. I don't understand why people in general are getting so mad about 5 cents. Maybe the 5 cents is to pay for the cost of cutting the trees to make the bags, and they don't plastic bags don't biodegrade. That's all I have to say. I don't really understand why people are so frothy about it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on item number 4? No. I jotted a few notes down today, and I'm going to read some of my thoughts that I have on this, and the council certainly can speak things that they wish to talk about. I've spent a considerable amount of time thinking about this very divisive issue, and I can only conclude that it needs to be resolved by a vote of the people. The people deciding this issue, I've concluded, is the most fair way to proceed. For this community to move forward, we must be united, and to kick this issue down the road would be irresponsible on my part and not considerate of the person who follows me in this seat as mayor, because I believe this issue, if it is not resolved, will carry on. I truly believe that. I can see nothing wrong with allowing the voters to decide this issue. It seems to me that both sides of this issue should encourage a vote of the people, either to affirm the ban or to overturn the ban. I think both sides of this issue, the people on both sides of this issue, should be excited about having an election and settle it once and for all. And I think that when you're promoting Bisbee as a clean environment for those that want to keep the ban, with the voters of the community saying, yes, we want to keep the ban, I think would have much more of an effect than a city council, four members of a city council making that decision. Both sides of this issue, I believe, have valid arguments, but for me to close my eyes on this issue would not be living up to my responsibility as mayor of this community. I take no sides on this issue, and people have said the environment looks cleaner. I can see that. I look at things like that. I definitely see that. But also there are people, especially elderly people, that sometimes not having those bags and having to carry the paper bags, it's a burden and somewhat of a struggle. So I do see both sides of that issue. And so I think with all my heart, and I have thought long and hard about this, I truly believe it needs to go to the vote of the people. Any other comments from the council?
Mayor.
Council Member Dowdy.
We all heard Betty Lindstrom say we should have choices, and we need to give you choices, whether you want the bag ban or whether you don't. It is your choice, and by putting it to the vote of the people, you will have a choice, and you didn't have before. That's all I have to say.
Council Member Klein.
You know, I like to thank everybody, whether you're, you know, for this or against this, for coming out yet again and speaking out to this issue. Ms. Lindstrom is correct. I remember when her biology class came in and, you know, came before us. And at that time, I was so ready to go with a complete ban. And then my neighbors started speaking up, and they wanted a choice in it. And I think, you know, after we've had this in for almost a year now, and people that were reluctant to bring bags in are now bringing bags in. So that's good. So there may be some converts there. But I've also heard from the clerks, and some of them are so disgusted by the condition of some of the bags. I've also been behind people that have made the clerks stop what they're doing, clean the conveyor belt because of somebody's dirty canvas bags that were before them. They didn't want to put their items on the same conveyor belt. So that takes time away from the clerks. The clerks also got the wrath of the 5-cent charge. And for a lot of people, that's what it was. It was the 5-cent fee that they didn't have a choice in. And for some people, very, you know, this young lady spoke about 5 cents isn't very much. And for most people, it's not. But for some people, it is. And the fact that we're all here, again, still discussing this, is a signal that, you know, we're not by any means settled on this. And I have lived here all my life, and I have never seen this town so divided over one issue. And I've also had, you know, a lot of people say that they signed the petitions not because, you know, they like the ban, but they also want a voice. And they didn't like the fact that their choice was taken away from them. And I've heard many people, like one of the last gentlemen that spoke, you know, if let it go to the voters and let it be decided once and for all. And if the ban stays, everybody is prepared to live with that I've talked to. You know, they said, so be it. You know, we'll live with it. And by the same token, if it, you know, fails, then, you know, the voters have spoken. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm in favor of a special election, but I do believe that it should go to the voters and, you know, maybe we can settle this once and for all and move forward, because I think Ms. Hansen said we have bigger fish to fry. We have more important things. But it is important that citizens have their say.
Thank you. Any other members of the council have any comments? Council Member Hansen.
Sorry, I've got to make a comment.
It's okay.
I already made a comment before we got started. The thing that bothers me about this is you elected this council, and there was an opportunity to show your opposition to the bag ban during that election, because it was very obvious who was for it and who was against it. So I think the people have already spoken, and I don't think there's a need for it to go to a ballot. We went through a legal process. There weren't enough votes on that. If you want to go through another petition, I know it's a pain in the butt. I know that it's hard work. But if you're that adamant about it, then that's the process that needs to be to take place. Are we going to go to a ballot every time there's a disagreement on a petition, and a petition does not get enough votes? We're going to say, nope, we want to vote. Everybody wants to vote on it. That's the reason you elected us. And if you're against that, then show that at the ballot or at the voting.
In response to Council Member Hansen, and I don't mean to be snide, but two of the council people up here did run unopposed, so, you know, that was not an issue necessarily in a particular campaign. It's not an important thing, but just an insight. I believe that what you're dealing with tonight is allowing the people to decide this issue, or not to allow the people to decide this issue, and that's the vote that you're going to have to make. And I think that is a critical vote of how you want to decide this issue. Let the people decide it, or do not let the people decide it. It's up to you as a council. Any other comments?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. And thanks, Ward 1, for coming out, and Ward 2, Ward 3, for that matter. Ed Gable said, exactly what I think I said, you know, give or take, almost verbatim, what, I can't believe that they did this, you know, because it is a fact that it was 5 years ago when it was initiated, and I understand, not paying attention to things, and then wanting, and then disagreeing with the outcome, or not having felt like I was part of a dialogue. I've done that. My daughter's going to graduate from college or high school in a couple of months. I've turned around, and she's, you know, there's things that I could have and would have loved to have said to her the last few years and been more involved than I was. But the fact of the matter is that she's gone. She's going to graduate and go to college, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen to my daughter out in the world. But the fact of the matter is that that's exactly what happened. For 3 years, it was every 6 months this issue was brought up, and it was said the kids at Greenway Elementary School are doing a great job, and they're bringing in lots of plastic bags, and this is great. So let's do this for another 6 months. Betty Lindstrom, the students at Cochise College, Bisbee High School, wherever, Jenny Druckmann, and the like, that cadre of people have been very patient. They've done everything that was asked of them as far as the process goes. You know, they lobbied, they talked to their representatives, and they did the due diligence, and they watched this for years happen. And I know what it's like to say, oh my God, it's here, and I'm not prepared. I've said that from the dais in this microphone about not being prepared with questions in the past. We're infallible. We're very infallible people, and to admit, I know it's hard to admit, oh Jesus, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, I wasn't paying attention. But I haven't heard any, there hasn't been any onus, there hasn't been any responsibility other than the fact that they don't like it. They don't like the outcome. They don't like the way it appears to have happened, and they want to recount. They want to redo, and there's a process for that, and that is initiatives and referendums. Vote, like Joan Hanson just said, vote us out of office. There's already drumbeats of recall. Recall me first, if you would, but you have to collect your signatures in Ward 1. So good luck. You know, you'll get a couple of dozen, maybe even a few dozen. But if you're going to recall a Ward 1 council person, you have to collect them in Ward 1. You want to, you know, 2 and 3, so forth. So I watched this happen a couple months ago where we lower the standards so that more people can play at the new level. And it's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong to lower standards, to manipulate rules. We didn't create this sitting board or city council or the previous one, the much maligned Mayor Badal and that one, they didn't make that quota for signatures for petitions. It wasn't our doing. It wasn't the last administration's doing. You know, I don't know which one it was, but that's the standard, and that's the number of signatures that you need. It's a moving number. It depends on how many people voted in the last election. Heck, in the last 10 years, we've lost nearly 1,000 people. In the last, between Mayor Badal's election and this last one, the turnout was lower. So the number's actually lower. It's the same percentage, but it's a lower number. It's not impossible. And that's what's frustrating up here is people talk at us as if we've denied you something, and we haven't. We've sat here for hours and hours and weeks and months and years, in some case, not me, but years of listening to this. So, it's just really poor sportsmanship. I mean, for lack of a better word, poor losers are, you didn't win, you didn't get on the you didn't vote on the winning side. So big deal. That's going to change. Just get somebody up here that represents you. I listened to a couple people introduce themselves for the first time to their city council people. I haven't met everybody in Ward 1. I know an awful lot of them, and I ask them. I ask you all the time, what's on your mind? What do I need to say? And overwhelmingly, Ward 1 constituents have told me to suggest that the folks that want this on a ballot to fill out a petition, get the signatures, and have it done in that manner, if that's the way they want to do it. Otherwise, elect somebody different, bring up an ordinance to repeal the ordinance. That is why we're up here, is to do hard things, not to pass it down, not to allow somebody else do our job. And whether you like it or not, I can't. It's impossible to make everybody happy. It's impossible. So I'm really disappointed that, that people are strenuously, I heard you and, things were rejected at the last round, but now you're strenuously objecting. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter. There are parameters, there are rules that you have to go by. But to ask us, to beg us to put this to the vote, I want to do what we're supposed to do in the first place, and that's like, if you want, an up and down vote on this, just put up another ordinance, whatever it would be to repeal this, and let's have a vote. That's what we've been elected to do, not to pass this on, but to vote on it, and we've already have. So, just like Mr. Smith or Harris, didn't convince me to lower the number. It's like it's the other way around. You need to convince more people that your initiative is worthy of their signature. You need to do the work, not us. We're doing it. We're doing what we can. We're pedaling as fast as we can, and we're trying to do what's important. And this is important enough to enough people that we'll talk about it again. But to try to get this on a ballot is a way to do it, but it's not the reason why people, have referendums and do initiatives. It's, you have a very functional and working city council up here that listens to people. So make us vote on it again in the form of a repeal of another ordinance. Bring another ordinance up here, and we'll vote on that. But to kick it to a ballot, and there are costs involved. There's thousands of dollars, a few thousands of dollars involved in printing the material that people have to read. So it's mind-boggling, that at a meeting here, people talked, somebody referred to the real facts. And that's the kind of discussion that just turns people off right away, and particularly me when you're talking about the real facts. The facts that you are wrapped around, that I can understand that, but the real facts, there's only one set of facts, and those are the facts. And we're getting different stories, not stories, but versions of part of fact. And we need to just focus on what, is the issue. You don't want to be told what to do. It's going to happen from time to time. We can gut the rules, the work that you have to put in, bookkeeping of 5 cents. We'll gut all of that, but the bag ban itself, it's undeniable. It's a good thing for seven generations. For thinking of somebody other than myself, it's a good idea. So I think you know where I stand, but I reserve the right to say something later if I want.
can I say one little
Council Member Sullivan.
Yeah. I just wanted to say one small thing. It was really nice to hear everybody's comments and definitely take all of them into account. And it's hard. And speaking of choices, of course we all want our freedom of choices. And sometimes there's hard choices, and the choices aren't about ourselves and what's easiest for us. We have to make the best choice for our community and for the environment. And this is one of those choices, you know. It does make it a little bit more difficult for certain people to change their habits. I don't always remember my bags. And even when I do forget them, I don't always go out and grab them from the car. I pay 5 cents, and I get a paper bag. And I consider myself somebody that tries to be pretty environmentally friendly. But I just want everybody to know that I do respect your choices, and I think we all should have them. And this is a democracy, but it's a representative democracy. And as council members up here, we're supposed to look at the situation and think, how is this going to be best for the whole community? And so unless it's taken through the course of a representative democracy, going through the steps and getting petition for a new initiative, then I think that we shouldn't even really have to make this decision, because we haven't been brought the signatures necessary. But I did really appreciate hearing everyone's feedback, and I hate to think that people are going to go out of town to shop somewhere else and take their tax money somewhere else because they are too stubborn or unwilling to bend a little bit and do something for the good of their community. That's all.
Council Member Dowdy?
Betty Lindstrom has her hand.
I was misquoted. May I quote you?
Well, I don't normally do it, but go ahead. I'll make an exception.
Thank you very much. Councilman Daugherty said that I spoke about wanting choices. That is exactly the opposite of what I said for the full time that I was up here. I said that we love choices. We want choices, but sometimes because we are irresponsible, we're negligent, and sometimes we just don't have choices, like we can't kill our neighbor.
But we need,
you know,
choices.
So that was the exact opposite of what I said, and I just wanted to make that on the record, and I didn't want the last thing you said to be what I said. Thank you for allowing me to come up.
Any other comments from the council? The decision or the choice that we have before us as a council is real simple, actually. Are we going to allow the voters to make a decision on this, or are we not going to allow the voters to make a decision on this? I trust the voters, well, except for the 4 or 5 times I lost elections. But I do trust the voters. It is their decision, and I truly want to get this issue behind us, because I personally am dealing with a lot of other issues. I'm dealing with Mayor Ortega and Douglas, dealing with public safety pension. I'm dealing with McCain's office in Tucson, dealing with restoration of CDBG grants, and the list goes on. So I am going to make a motion, and we'll take a vote, and we'll see what happens. I move that we approve allowing the voters to decide whether to continue the bag ban, Ordinance O-13-14, codified in Article 9.7 of the City Code, and that we authorize city staff to place this item on the ballot for voter consideration during the next authorized election on August the 25th, 2015.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? No further discussion on this item. Ms. Coronado, I need a roll call vote.
Councilmember Connors?
Nay.
Councilmember Hansen?
Nay.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Nay.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Nay.
Mayor Lee?
Aye. Motion fails, 4-3. Without objection, from the council, I think that we probably need about a 10-minute recess. Approval to change the tobacco-free policy of the personnel rules and regulations, V job performance requirements and restrictions, Section 7, tobacco-free workplace policy to include any electronic nicotine delivery system that produces airborne
byproducts such as, but not limited to, a vapor device used for smoking. Ms. Cindy Moss, the personnel director.
This was brought on because there was a question of whether we would allow the e-cigarettes at the in the office and such, and so Mr. Johnson suggested that we take it to the employee council and to give us a recommendation, and they recommended to treat the e-cigarette like a regular cigarette. So what is included is what they edited to include the e-cigarette or the personal vapor nicotine delivery system. And then we also took it to the Civil Service Commission, and they passed it. So staff is recommending to allow us to update this policy.
Thank you. Before we proceed, we have one person signed up for this, Mr. Eric Farner.
Eric Farner, 609 Bisbee Road. Now, the only concern that I have about this particular proposal, you know, I'm not a smoker, and you know, I don't use e-cigarettes, I don't do vaping, so I don't really get all the vapors about this piece. But I do have concerns about incrementalism, about precedents that are set, and my concern is that the electronic nicotine delivery systems, it isn't smoking, it isn't tobacco. Maybe something like this might be set, you know, as a policy, but kind of like an addendum, but not as a tobacco policy. I would be concerned about what the cities are doing about setting a precedent that, well, vaping, it's the same thing as tobacco, it's the same thing as smoking, and there would be certain restrictions on the use of it, and people who are trying to quit smoking, using it as an alternative to smoking and eventually quitting, I think that there might be, that could backfire a little bit. But again, my concern is that this sets a precedent for more ordinances that would say, well, look, see, we've already established that as tobacco, we're going to regulate it as tobacco. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
I just wanted to say that Ms. Moss, I knew I was going to trip on that one, and it's such an easy name, has done a really great job of getting the word out on this. And if I remember correctly, didn't you tell me that you also had feedback from actual staff?
Yes.
That they were all for this.
Yes.
And which really kind of surprised me. Then I also went through that error of when we had to switch over. I think you did a great job of getting the word out and getting the feedback that you needed.
Any other comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the proposed edits to the tobacco-free policy to include any electronic nicotine delivery system that produces airborne byproducts such as, but not limited to, a vapor device used for smoking.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Item number six, discussion of possible approval of a change order number 2 for KE&G for a 30-day time extension due to a hard dig, a 15-day time extension due to APS power delays, and a 35-day time extension to accommodate placement of chip seal when temperatures are warmer to the substantial and final completion contract time frame. Also required is an additional $40,341.53 for installation of fence slats, change in incoming overhead service support per APS direction, and additional sewer and overs at existing homes required due to multiple building connections. Mr. Tom Klimak, the Public Works Director.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. Good evening. Thank you, Mayor, for the rundown on that. It's quite thorough. One of the things that I might point out is that the NAD Bank, together with USDA Rural Development, US EPA, along with our consultant, Westland Resources, Inc., out of Tucson, Ms. Kara Festa is with us this evening. She's in the audience. She's available to answer questions should it be necessary. Kara, myself, and the agencies all met together with extensive amount of conversation and discussion and detail about these costs that we're talking about, as well as time. The Tin Town project has been a tough job, really, really tough, primarily because of the rock excavation. The rock seems to be everywhere, and it's very densities of rock. seismic testing that was performed in the very beginning identify that rock, which for the most part, most of it was rippable. In this particular instance where we're looking at a 30-day time extension for the rock, the excavation was approximately 9 feet deep. It was the hardest rock to be encountered on the project, and it did delay the job 4 weeks with the installation along Vargas Street and a portion of Tehran Street. We also had some delays due to just overall coordination with the Arizona Public Service in that initially they were going to install a power pole on the lift station site, and instead they decided it would be more not only expeditious but perhaps safer if we just had a different framework at the lift station site, which became a modification to the design. And that was an item that we're looking at a delay of about 15 days there. The third delay that we experienced is the fact that we've planned to do chip sealing in on the Tin Town street project so as to do our best to at least seal the surface. Because with all the rock that we've encountered, when we start excavating these trenches, they become French drains, which are easily impacted by stormwater that essentially could rut and gut those trenches. So by putting a chip seal surface on it, you know, we're hoping that we can seal the rain and those trenches at the same time. Now, that's not intended to be a long-term fix. It's something that we developed in the very beginning. But in order to do that kind of work, it's also temperature sensitive. And ADOT normally likes to see temperatures above 50 degrees, which we, without a doubt, would have those temperatures come June, knowing what our climate is here. So based on that, the bulk of the hard work is intended to be completed for substantial completion, which means a system that we can actually use would be April 10th. And then final completion would be May 10th. And that's the project as the entire project. And then we're looking at an extension favoring you know, weather conditions to do the chip seal. And that's why the project under the KE&G contract would be extended to June 14th. And again, you know, the costs that are encountered when you, and I can talk about those a little bit here as well. When we look at slats, one of the, as it turned out, you really don't know how a project or a lift station is going to impact a property owner until maybe, sad to say, until it's almost done. And realizing that we have solar panels on this project to generate some additional power source for the lift station, and it's right in front of Lot 34, the residence home, we're looking to put slats in the fences. So, you know, what you're looking at there is like $2,968 for the slats to encompass the entire fenced area. With regard to the H support framing for the lift station and the power, and the power connection, it's $6,435.51. Now, there's another item of something that we encountered that we didn't really plan on or we didn't envision, because we never really opened up the cesspools when the design was underway. And what we found now, in many instances, we have three, sometimes four connections running into the cesspool at different elevations. And now what we're having to do, instead of having one connection, we're having to literally gang the valving in those cesspools and allow for clean out so each individual line can be serviced if necessary in the future for the homeowner. And the estimated cost on those, you know, addressing those issues is $30,937.50. So when you add up the slats and you add up the framing for the electrical and then these connections at the house, at the actual home, we're looking at a total change order of $40,341.53. And again, like I said, this has already been tentatively approved, awaiting City Council's oversight and approval of this action.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve a change order number 2 for KENG for a 30-day time extension due to hard dig, a 15-day time extension due to APS power delays, and a 35-day time extension to accommodate placement of chip seal when temperatures are warmer. Also, an additional $40,341.53 for installation of fence slats, change in incoming overhead service support per APS direction, and additional sewer tie overs at existing homes required due to multiple building connections.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item number 7, discussion of possible approval of contract credit in the amount of $18,875.48 from the solar project funds. Once again, Mr. Tom Klimak, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. what we're looking at here is a credit in the amount of $18,875.48. The credit is based on the, if we want to call it savings, that occurred on the solar project. Some of it, the largest part of it is due to the pulling the PACE consultants off of the inspection project near the end of the installation of the solar system, solar array at the wastewater treatment plant. They've continued to work with us in the administrative mode, but ceased to do inspection at what I consider probably the most critical point in the whole project. But that's neither here nor there. The point is we've gotten through it. We're still in the process of working through all the paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done through financing as it relates to the Water Infrastructure Finance Authority and the overall loan process. It's really quite significant. And one of the items in here is actually an add item as opposed to a deduct, was the fact that I felt it was best to do a topographic survey prior to the installation of the solar array after the work was performed by Ashton contractors, the Ashton company out of Tucson. They did the actual site grading. We did not have in their contract a line item for surveys, so literally Public Works took it upon ourselves to initiate that work so I could make sure that the area under those that solar array would drain properly. And we did do that survey. Ashton did a good job. There's actually never been a point that Ashton didn't do a good job, and I know that's not part of this, but in a way it kind of is. I think both contractors did an excellent work for us, and Public Works is satisfied with it. And that's about all I have to say.
Thank you. We do have one person signed up for this, Mr. Peter Van Gunlock. Do you wish to speak on this?
Okay. I'm wearing this T-shirt for a reason, and it's based on what's considered normally equitable transactions. And if you notice it here, we're looking at 15% for 15%. Well, as it turned out on the solar project, we ended up with a 342-kilowatt system, but we paid for a 400-kilowatt system, the difference being about 15%. speaking in terms of the rebate that we just got now, the credit on $18,000, we were originally charged $45,000, or we're going to be charged, as a matter of fact, we will bill by PACE for the $45,000, and then for that same service. As it turns out, we eventually paid them that money, but I couldn't find any reference to a council approval of those payments. But that's a separate item. The main thing is that what we're doing right now is we're paying an extra 15%. In other words, we're talking about roughly minus the $18,000, we're talking about $210,000 extra on the solar project that we didn't have to pay, that we actually should be reimbursed by PCI as well as PACE. What I did was I just took 15% off their top top amounts that they've been charging us and say, well, you gave us 15% less, so give us a rebate for the 15%, $200,000. So that's a significant amount of money. And the second thing I have on the solar project is that it's still quite doubtful whether or not it's even going to be viable. I mean, when you look at the $80,000 a year service on the WIF alone, you talk about $160,000 that has to be taken out of the general fund and put in a reserve fund because WIF wants the guarantee of 2 years of payments. They don't want to be in any way compromised or in any way at risk for that. There are a number of other expenses and costs of operating this whole system that haven't even been that haven't even been calculated into the operating costs of the system. I sincerely, and at this time I'm putting my word on the line, but I do believe that we're going to be spending an additional $20,000 a year for the solar project that was supposed to save us and reduce our electric bill. Of course, we also have the issues of the PMI, which is offered by the APS. The PMI is Production Management Incentive, and it was supposed to be somewhere around $23,000 a year. But that's all in the air because it's all dependent on how well the system is functioning. And if it doesn't meet the standards and the thresholds that APS has required, we don't get that money. Even with that money, we're going to be losing money on it for a number of years before we see anything. Meanwhile, the equipment is devaluing, it's degrading, and we're going to have to be replacing components and so forth. None of that is calculated into these costs. So, again, I think part of the problem was that we started with a no-bid contract with a contractor that had minimal experience in what they were doing, and we've seen that over and over again in the defective plans, the defective drawings, the defective engineering, and the constant changes that had to be occurred. The most recent payments that were made, after the payments were withheld, because we had made an objection about the whole idea of the payments to PACE, so we withheld $45,000, and I was under the impression after a very eloquent letter that was written and all kinds of claims that we had made in addition to the claims that I've been talking about, that money was not going to be paid. It was paid, finally, and there was no council approval for it. It would just slip right under the table and boom, there was the money paid. So the point I'm making is, are we going to be continually country bumpkins being flim-flammed by people who are smarter than we are and know how to manipulate numbers and they take a lot of money and then they give a little bit back. They take a lot of money and give a little bit back. And this is the pattern that's been going on from the beginning on this project. So, again, I'm sticking with my initial appraisal of the system. No, you don't do no-bid contracts with companies that have minimal experience and then claim that they are have core competencies to be able to accomplish the job. And that's my statement. We're going to be paying $200,000 that we shouldn't be paying. That should be going back to the Treasury. Back to our treasury. So that's why this shirt says it all. Thank you. So I don't know, are we going to be the country bumpkin still, or are we going to finally stand up on our hind legs and say, enough is enough? That's my question.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the council?
I'd like
council
to
member
comment.
Sullivan.
Yeah. You know, I was a little shocked when I saw this item because we hadn't discussed this PACE contract since our executive session on it that I'm aware of. And as we left that session, the last thing I remember was that we're not allowed to speak of this. Okay. Well, I won't say what was said, but I will
be
say
very
that
careful.
That wasn't what was done. And the next thing I know, we've paid them.
It's a double pay.
Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? No?
Here, you want to have this spreadsheet? I have it all written down here. You can see the numbers.
Mr. Carmack, would you want to comment on that?
I think in terms of who's getting paid, there's always the option at the end of a project, especially where there's federal monies involved, to audit the project. That would be my suggestion, okay? Ironically, this project was approved by Cochise County with their solar folks, APS, WIFA. And, you know, the electrical engineers that did the work have done over 30 to 35 of these, at least 30 of them, okay? They're the designers. I think if there's any real legitimate questions that need to be answered, I think they need to be put on a list, and then those can always be brought up, given to the electrical engineer through PACE, and let them just respond to the questions. Now, I know there was a 40-page response that was provided back to the city, and I don't know how many people actually read it, okay? But I think that would be a good place to start, okay? And that's my rebuttal to these questions.
Thank you. No, I'm not going to have back and forth tonight. I'm not going to do that right now.
But I did make the response.
Any other questions from the council?
No issue being brought up.
Do we have a...
I have one question.
Council Member Hanson.
If I can remember what it was. this 40-page response, when was that?
That was received back in early December.
Oh, okay.
And there was...
Is there any way to get a copy of that?
Oh, I think there are several copies that are being circulated and have been circulated through public
requests.
Okay.
Council Member Sullivan, do you have another comment?
I think that Joan... saw the reply letter. I think because I think so. After the letter was sent by Mr. Johnson, that Ann Carl worked on, and then they responded, and then we talked about it.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I had a senior moment.
One more statement. Mr. Peter von Gunlach.
Okay.
One more statement, and then we're going to move on.
I read the response, and if you remember, I had presented a PowerPoint presentation, which was not published in the in our local newspapers, but nevertheless, even though they had all the information on it, and the PowerPoint presentation showed severe deficiencies in safety in the entire plant. It could have easily created a major liability for us with OSHA. So the response on the letter, for an example, and I'll give you one response on that letter, and there are numerous equally egregious. We were talking about putting the railings, which I believe have not been put in yet, the railings around the tanks so that the workers would have something to grab onto when they were working. There was no railings. It was just a bare beam. And that was a consideration for safety. And it was important. And as part of OSHA's requirements in terms of falls, it was a four-foot drop. PACE's response to it was, well, we did you a favor by lifting the tanks out of the ground so they were 4 feet high off the ground so nobody could fall into them. That wasn't the problem. The problem was that the workers had to work on a very narrow beam with no restraints and very little protection. So that response was disingenuous, because they were talking about the fact that they built the tank out of the ground, so therefore nobody would trip over the ledge into the pool. Well, that wasn't the issue. The issue was the workers that had to work on that thing needed grab rails and railings on top. And these were the kind of responses that we got each time on all of the issues that had been, all of the complaints that had been submitted at the time. These, in other words, the answer was correct, but out of context, completely. And this has been a pattern going all the way back to the beginning. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the council?
Yeah,
Mayor? Council Member Connors.
Thank you. Hey, Tom, has anything good happened out at the wastewater, with the solar? Has anything positive happened?
Well, we're generating about 85% of the daily power demand. 85%.
That's an affirmative, yeah. There are good things that are happening out there.
And I'm just going to say it. Under our agreement with net metering, okay, in this particular case, originally it was intended to be 60%.
I know.
With APS. But since everybody keeps asking the same question, I'm just going to say this, that, WIPA was concerned with the amount of power that we're actually excessively generating.
Right.
And whether or not that would be questioned. And I, how do you answer that?
Well, you
answer it by thinking that in 20 years you're going to have degradation of the panels at 1% per year. So if you're generating 85 at the start, what's it going to be at year 19 or year 20? okay? So you'll lose 20%, okay? Maybe. But the bottom line is you're going to be at about maybe 60 to 65%, which is it's a 20-year design. And it's the best that we can do with the technology today.
And we have had conversations in regards to safety improvements at the wastewater treatment facility.
Yeah, even
and
though that's not
and
an
agenda. It's not even a...
It's not an agenda item
right,
tonight.
Exactly.
Right.
And I don't know if I can even answer that question.
I know. Thanks for reminding me. But yeah. I'm just saying that... Those have been addressed, and we continue to address those issues. And
we
had
an inspector from Pennsylvania and an inspector from actually from Phoenix.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Looking at the OSHA issues. So,
any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
Do we need a motion?
I move that we approve a contract credit in amount of $18,875.48 from solar project funds.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
No.
Oh, excuse me. We vote 6-1. I believe Councilmember Sullivan voted nay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, item number 8, discussion and possible approval of services relating to the development of as-built drawings for the off-site Tintown Sanitary Sewer Project. Once again, Mr. Tom Klimak, Public Works Director.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Just to kind of give the council a benefit of a little history here, when the Tintown project was put together, the sewer line that we decided to tie into, which would be the receiving sewer for Tintown, because the initial design plans were shot down and they would not be funded by USDA Rural Development because we were trying to put a gravity system in. And due to the high cost of installing off-site gravity sewer system. The project went to Washington, D.C. Washington ruled on it, came back, said, go back to the drawing board, come up with a different, much cheaper means of discharging the sewage from Tintown. So we did that. It was a second round preliminary engineering report. Now, the offsite sewer that we were tying into, it's only a 6-inch sewer line, but it was made out of asbestos cement pipe. And it most likely was installed probably in the late 1950s, early 60s. When ACP pipe was the rage at the time, not only for it's primarily used in drinking water, and if some of you are familiar with asbestos, when it becomes friable, it becomes a problem because it can be airborne, it can be ingested, and so as a result, it's a carcinogenic. Now we've got roughly about we've got maybe 800 feet of it on offsite. And then a portion, and when I say offsite, that is a line that actually belongs to us. It was also full of holes and had been patched excessively because I think in a lot of times it was probably damaged either using it for target practice or throwing rocks at it. But the line was in really bad shape, so we were able to negotiate within the Tintown project the replacement of that asbestos cement pipe. To remove it as part of the project, it's a $9,600 item that would be picked up by the feds, okay, and take it away to the landfill in Florence. It's a product that we really don't want. It's a bad line, and we were able to replace that line with the Tintown project. A lot of people don't know that. Along with that same concept is we saw some locations where we could maybe even improve the line that belongs to us, which would be upstream from the downstream receiving sewer line. Okay, and that's why there's just a little sketch in here that shows those different alignments. We're doing that completely with city staff. We're using pipeline that we still had in our storage yard as a result of the work that was done in 2005, 6, and 7. Okay. We're using some manholes, some old manholes, but, they're not deteriorated. They're all in good shape. So we're doing that with city crews. As city engineer, I will seal it, sign it, and approve of it to get it approved through ADEQ. But what I need is this project to be as-builted. And what I mean by that, I need to have it redrawn because the alignment has changed. And also, it'll have to be resurveyed. So that's why I'm asking for this $4,850, which is a not-to-exceed contract. It is a sole-source contract with Westland Resources. They're on-site working on the main project, so it really makes sense that they be the candidate consultant to do this work. And that's why I'm coming before council tonight. But I actually need this work done in tandem with what we're doing to get it through ADEQ.
Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve services relating to the development of as-built drawings for the off-site Tintown Sanitary Sewer Project.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item number 9, discussion of possible approval of a change order number 4 for the construction management services for the wastewater collection systems expansion for Tintown area sewers in the amount of $66,000. Mr. Tom Klimak, once again, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. You know, to kind of put this in perspective, when the contractor continues to work on a job, it's very important for the city to have oversight on that project by people that know what to do and how to do it. These projects are extremely complex. The paperwork is horrendous. There's just a lot of issues, and they're daily. It's not one issue a day. It's multiple issues. Just kind of give you an idea. Lorena Valdez, who's my administrative assistant, I mean, she's in constant contact with El Paso and in coordinating the billing process through NADBank. And a lot of times it requires a little Spanish to make it work. And so she's right there. She's just part of a team of a whole lot of people that it's necessary to get this kind of work done. Westland Resources, I have the full confidence in them. They've been thorough. They've been understanding. They've been there. They do the weekly reports. I've got a full-time inspector there on that job. And, of course, these things are required as part of the grant. Now, this particular project is 100% federally funded. Okay, the money is there, and I've requested and gotten concurrence with NADBank as well as USDA Rural Development and the EPA to allow Westland Resources to continue to work together with the contractor, providing that daily oversight that we need to have. And that's what this is all about. It's a continuation of their contract. You know, this job, originally we thought, oh, hey, this could get done in 6 months. You know, maybe it was wishful thinking on my part. Hey, get in there, hit it hard, get it done, you know. Just didn't work. Kara Festus here this evening, she thought it was going to take 8 months. I said, well, you know, hey, we get in there, we probably can do it in 6. Well, you know, that was back in October of 2013. Mm-hmm. In my career of 40 years, it's the longest project I've ever worked on. And I've worked on the Papago Freeway in downtown Phoenix with utilities. This has just been one long ride. And it's one of those small jobs with just hundreds and hundreds of issues. And this consultant is top of the line as far as I'm concerned, and I highly recommend this approval.
Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion? Do you have a question? Council Member Hansen.
You said that it was federally funded.
Yes.
So there is no cost whatsoever to the city?
No. This is the action tonight is really the oversight that city councils need to have over projects that are being funded by the federal government, so that, you know, the council is well aware of what the staff is doing, what the consultants are doing, what the contractor is doing, and how those agencies are functioning.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve change order number 4 for the construction administration services for the wastewater collection systems expansion for Tin Town area sewers in the amount of $66,000.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? No other questions. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klimak. Item number 10, discussion and possible approval of a motion to go into executive session for the discussion of the employment of City Attorney Ann Carl per ARS 38-431.0381, discussion or consideration of employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee of any public body. Do we have a motion?
Mayor, before...
Yes, Councilmember Connors.
Do we want to invite Ms. Carl into the executive session?
I think that is a decision that she can make and has already made. Is that correct, Ms. Carl?
Well, it's actually not my choice. I would like to be in executive session, but the council has the choice to have me in executive session or not.
I have no problem with you being in the executive session. I think that you have a right to do that. I think it's either public or private. I believe that's the way that works.
It's completely public if I want it to be public,
right.
But I suggested that it was all right for it to be private.
Yeah.
However, I would like to be a part of that executive session.
Yeah, I believe that you have a right to do that. Yeah.
Well, and to that, Mayor, thank
yeah.
you. Just to audit it or to be part of the discussion?
Well, I would say whatever comes down, I'm sure, whatever questions that may be asked in that process. She will be included in the executive session. Understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you're... I'm just asking,
Okay.
if she can participate or just there to listen.
Well, I think that she certainly has the right to maybe answer questions that might be asked.
Okay.
Certainly. Any objection from the council on that? Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss the employment of Ann Carl.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes. We are now in executive session.
Come out of executive session.
We have a motion and a second to come out of executive session. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. We are now out of executive session. Item number 11, discussion and possible action regarding the employment of Ann Carl, city attorney. Any comments? No comments. I move to terminate the contract of Ann Carl and the city of Bisbee without cause and begin the 60-day notice period.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. On this item, Ms. Coronado, I need a roll call vote.
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Jowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Nay.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes 6-1. Do we have we have the city manager's report.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Just wanted to briefly give you guys an update on where we are on our budget. Year-to-date for the month ending January 31st, 2015, 59% of the year has elapsed. Sales tax revenue, as I mentioned last month, are down by about $156,000. Licenses and permit fees were down $33,986. Charges for services also down by $65,000. On the expenditure side, we're particularly high in a couple of areas. In the animal shelter, about $47,078, more so because we brought on a permanent part-time position. We have two folks over in the animal shelter. Legal services are up $14,613, and in the fire department up about $135. And so just just wanted to give you guys that update. I'm not going to give you all more detail once we kind of massage the numbers a little bit and finalize and close the books for the upcoming month. Also want to let you all know that the website redesign goes live on Friday, March the 6th. In conjunction with that, staff has been working vigorously in trying to get OpenGov up and running as well to really supplement and, well, complement the new website coming online. I had a meeting today with Mr. Klimek and the Erratic with Arizona Water. They're looking to replace a water line that goes from the parking lot of the convention center, the sidewalk going along up under the underpath up to the staircase to get us over to the Queen Mine. There's a water line right in there, and they approached the city and wanting to do the work beginning in September, if I'm not mistaken. And so we talked to them about that being our busy season, so we agreed to take a look at their transportation plan. You know, how do we get pedestrians from one point to the next, because that will significantly impact us. So we're going to try to see if we can work with them, perhaps expedited schedule. Whatever the case may be, we're going to, you know, try to work with those guys, because we recognize it does benefit the Queen Mine, because it does go towards the fire suppression system, as was explained to me. The Bisbee Chamber of Commerce is having an open house on March the 5th at Community Springboard from 4 to 8. And some of you may or may not know, up at the Queen Mine, there's a sinkhole. I guess it's about 8 feet across, roughly. But it was where the old Czar shaft was. Unfortunately, I mean, there is a sinkhole in that location. And I talked to Robert Quintanar a couple of weeks ago, and Tom and I were out on the site trying to assess really what we need to do and who has the responsibility. But Robert did say, hey, look, you know, we'll go ahead, and if it's okay with you, I'll meet with Tom and Doug Dunn at the Queen Mine to see if we can start pumping grout down in the space to try to settle that particular area. And lastly, I know a couple of meetings ago, we had a strategic planning session, and I wanted to get an idea from you all, and we can just kind of communicate via email on some dates. I'll send out an email. I would like to see if we can go in and get that locked in for the end of the month. But again, I'll try to, you know, get you all some dates. And I talked to Ashley today, and with the amendments, the charter amendments, because there's no action coming out of a strategic planning session, we can actually start the meeting a little bit early, which is absolutely something I would recommend, because I don't want us to be bogged down by the clock. If we can get in here and work and knock some things out, I'd love for us to be able to do that. But at this point, that's all I have.
Thank you.
We have a few council comments. Council Member Dowdy.
Unfortunately, there aren't more people here. If I can get through this, I just want to give thanks to our police department for the marvelous job they did this past week on stopping the two people, I guess it was two, wasn't it, for the drug bust. It's two more people off the streets and a bunch of drugs off the streets. And I, for one, really appreciate that. It's keeping a lot of kids off of those drugs. And you guys did a wonderful job. I don't know whether you two were involved, but it makes me feel better. I can sleep better at night. Thank you very much. Thanks, Bobby.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes, I just have a comment, or actually just want to give some information on a work session. On January 20th's council meeting, there was a motion to develop procedures for the City of Bisbee council meetings to include open meeting laws and also that they be added to the city code. That was amended by Council Member Counters to include a work session to invite the public into the process. That work session will take place on March 24th at 5:30 here in the City Hall.
Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to respond to City Manager's report. I believe I can do that.
as long as no one else discusses it, if you make one comment, as long as it's not no one else says a word, you can do that. I just worry about the open meeting law.
Well, for one, he's meeting with Doug Graham, not Doug Dunn, regarding that.
I'm sorry.
Also, I just, in terms of the budget, you know, the certainly the headline, new Bisbee tax increase starts Sunday. I'm extremely pleased with that. And also they quote Sharon Bono, and I want this is what I want to share, concludes her interview saying, I try to buy as much as I can in Bisbee to help fix the city streets. Thank you. And thanks, Sharon.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.